Good morning. It's good to be together again as we continue to worship God through the ministry of the Word. And I thought we would begin, we're going to be continuing in chapter 15, but I thought we would begin by reading verses 1 through 17. And we'll be focusing all of our time in 12 through 17 this morning, but beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you again for giving us the opportunity to gather together as a body of believers. Father, we are thankful for each person that you have placed here. We're thankful for each part of our body that you have put together in the way that you have. Father, we're just thankful for the opportunity to minister and to love to one, show love to one another the way that you have given us those opportunities. And Father, we just pray that you would as we know you do, that you would use your word to change hearts, to cause people to think this morning as we spend time in it. Father, we just pray that you would continue the work that you have begun in us, that you would cause us to change into the people that you desire that we be, that we would love one another the way that you desire that we love one another. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we'll continue, and our focus will be on verses 12 through 17. And we see right at the beginning of verse 12, in the first verse, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And, you know, as we've seen and we've talked about, the whole time that Jesus has been ministering, he's been in the upper room with his disciples. I believe he's still in the upper room. I'm not sure by the narrative we have, but he's ministering to his disciples. And the whole time, from the very beginning of this time, as we've seen Jesus speaking and focusing in on his disciples, we've seen love on display. I mean, we've seen love all throughout the text. And we see it from the very beginning in 13:1, where we began in this section. "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And then in 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And then in verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And then in verse 15 of chapter 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. 14:21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest himself to him. And in verse 23, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. In verse 24, whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. In verse 31, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. And then in 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. In verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. And then our verse for this morning, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So we see there on this slide in verse 12, our first verse for this morning, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. But then in verse 10, you see, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we see the idea of the answer to the question of what are the commandments he's speaking of. I think through this whole text, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And I think we see it answered here in 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And I think, you know, when we think of being obedient to Christ and the obedience to Christ and keeping the commandments, James spoke of it the last time he preached. The idea is that we love God and then we love the brethren. You know, that's keeping the commandments. But I think all through here he's speaking of this commandment. He's really emphasizing that they are to love one another. We see it all throughout that section, and we saw it all the way back in chapter 13, that the love of Christ toward the disciples was in view, his love towards them, and then Jesus, he displayed his love for them, remember beginning in 13 when he washed their feet, when he washed the disciples' feet. So all throughout this text, throughout this section, he's explaining and showing them that he loves them. He was preparing them for his departure. And then all throughout this same section, he's commanding that they love one another in the same way. All throughout this section. He goes so far as to say that the world would know that they were his disciples by their love for one another. And he's speaking to the disciples here, but he says this also to us. He says it to us, the world will know that we are his disciples by our love for one another. We're commanded in this scripture to love one another. We're commanded to do it. And we will display that we're disciples by our love for one another. So we saw love on display all throughout this section, continually, speaking of love. But notice also we see all throughout the section this idea of the speaking of fruit bearing. In John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And then in 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And then verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Have you noticed the progression in the fruit bearing in this text? You see a progression of it. In verse 2, we see it spoken of that every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And then in verse 5, we see the idea in verse 5, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. So there's fruit bearing, pruning, bearing more fruit, and then the idea that those who abide in him, in Jesus, and he in them, will bear much fruit. And then, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And then in verse 8, it goes on to say that by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. There's sort of a progression in this, the idea that there's a fruit bearing, pruning, bearing more fruit, and bearing much fruit. And it goes on to say that we glorify the Father by bearing fruit, by bearing much fruit. So we see in this text that those who are true disciples, those who are truly disciples, those who are truly in Christ, those who are abiding in the vine, those who are being pruned by the Father, they will produce fruit. They will produce fruit. They will produce God-glorifying fruit and progressively more of it. And in all of this, the Father is glorified, that we bear much fruit and so prove to be Jesus' disciples. So it's by the fruit, this fruit that's produced by us or produced in us, the branches. The only way that it's produced is being attached to the vine, which is Jesus. It's through that, through this fruit being produced in us, that we prove to be Jesus' disciples. So we have this speaking of love and loving one another all throughout the text. And then we see this speaking of producing fruit. And so I must ask, what is, you know, is there two different things here being spoken of? What is this fruit that we are to bear much of? What is this fruit? We're to bear much of it and prove to be his disciples. Well, we saw this, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. And then, so what is the fruit that we're to bear much of? I think in 13:35 we read, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I think the fruit that we bear begins first in the love that we have for Christ, us being connected to the vine, by loving Christ, by the love for God. And we love him, we abide in him, we abide in his love, and that love produces in us a love for one another. And I think the beginning, all of this fruit that it's speaking of, I believe begins in the love that we have for one another. So God desires, Jesus desires that we, not only does he desire, he commands that we love one another, that we produce this fruit of love for the brethren. And Jesus has gone so far in 9 and 10 to say, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He goes on to say so much. I mean, he's so important. He's commanding us to love one another. He's commanding that we love one another. And he goes so far as to say, if you keep my commandments, if you love one another. If you could keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then we go on to our text this morning, just after that. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So this loving one another that we're speaking of here, and you know, I've spoken of fruit. You know, we think of fruit as being a lot of other stuff. I think a lot of times we think of the fruit that we have would be this other stuff. But I think any fruit that we produce as Christians, no matter what we're doing, if it's not grounded in this love of God and love for others, there's nothing. It's not Christian fruit. It's not being produced by that. The fruit that we produce is grounded in that us loving one another and loving God. But the thing is that I think a lot of times we think of that being obedient and going to church and doing these certain things as being, you know, being the things we should be doing. And we kind of, when we think about this, actually loving one another, I think sometimes it's sort of just assumed. But we got to see that Jesus is talking to the disciples here. This is not an optional thing for us. He's commanded it, that we love one another. It's not optional. He's commanded that we love one another. He's commanded it. It's the fruit that is naturally produced in us. It is produced in us by being in Christ. That fruit is that we love one another. Our having love for one another, we read earlier, proves to the world that we're his disciples. And it also shows us that we are truly in Christ. We read that in 1 John 3:13 through 15. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life. Listen to this. We know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So not only are we commanded by Jesus, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, we're also shown that we are given assurance that we are in Christ because we love the brothers. So I just ask you, do you love the brothers? Now you might look at me and say, when I speak of this loving the brothers, you might say, Tony, you just don't understand. You don't understand that you should qualify this. You don't know some of the people in my church. Now I don't think that's a problem here, but some might say you don't know some of the people in my church or some of the people that I've gone to church with in the past. You don't understand them. You've not seen how they treated me. Some of these folks, they're just not like me. That may be something here. Some are just not nice to me. You know, I'm confident that's not really the case here, but it could be. It could be that some of my personality traits or some of the personality quirks that some of us have in this church, there could be something about some of the others that just sort of gets on your nerves, you know. It makes it hard to love them. So you might say, you've got to qualify this. We want to look when it says that you love one another as I have loved you, we want to look sometimes. And I think sometimes we want to put qualifications on it. Some of you might have been mistreated in the past. At some point in the past, you might be thinking of that person right now. And you might think, but Tony, you don't understand. You don't know what that guy did to me. You might think that way. You might think it should be qualified. Maybe you would say it like this. Wait just a minute, Jesus. You should say it like this. You should love them if. You should love them if they would do this, if they treated me better. Or I would love them if they wouldn't act that way. Or if they would only do this or that, then I would love them. We might want to put those qualifications on it. You might think in your head, we should qualify this love. I should love them if whatever. But Jesus does qualify it in our text. He qualifies it for us in our text. We want to qualify it. He qualifies it. He qualifies it in our text when he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." So Jesus does qualify it, and he says, "That you love one another as I have loved you." And how has he loved us? How has Jesus loved us? Here Jesus is speaking to the disciples about what he is about to do. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Jesus was this very week, I think it's the next day, but Jesus is just about to lay his life down for these that he's speaking to. So when we think about what Jesus was about to do, he was willingly, purposely going to lay his life down for these friends. He was purposely going to lay his life down for us. We need to think of our condition, of mankind's condition at this point. When you think of mankind's condition out of Romans, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life." You see, if you think about Christ laid down his life for us, he was about to lay his life down for these disciples, for us, for the ungodly. He was going to purposely lay his life down for the ungodly. And this even goes so far as to say, for the enemies of God. He was about to lay his life down for his enemies, for the ungodly, the unrighteous. And we, being born ungodly, under the curse, born enemies of God, we are the ones that he willingly laid his life down for us. So he says that we're to love one another like that. Now we might say, we might think or say, when Jesus speaks of loving one another in this way, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends," we might say that, we would jump in front of someone and die for them. Jump in front of a bullet and die for them. We might think of it, situations where we might die for our children, do something to die. You've heard stories of it, like guys in battles falling on grenades. You've heard of people jumping in front of someone that's being fired at, or pushing somebody out of the way of the bus and being hit by the bus and killed. You can think of stories like that. There's places where people have done that, where they've sacrificed their life for someone else. People have done that. But the difference here is that in any of those situations, the people were giving their lives away, that were giving their lives away, were just moving up the inevitable. They were giving their lives for someone, laying their lives down for someone, because they were going to die anyways. Any of those people were going to die anyways. But when we see Jesus speaking of this, dying for his enemies, willingly laying his life down, he did not have to die. See, Jesus was not born under the curse. He did not have to die in the same way that we do. Jesus was the Son of God. He is eternal. He willingly put on flesh for the purpose of dying in the place of those whom he loved, even while they were ungodly, unrighteous enemies of God. He put on flesh for that. So this demonstration of his love for us and willingly laying down his life for us is greater than any demonstration of love and us willing or laying our lives down that we could ever imagine doing. But the weight of that, the weight of what he has done for us, what he did for us, should remove any thought of qualifying this love that we have for one another from our minds. We were the enemies of God, yet Jesus died for us. We were ungodly, undeserving sinners, yet Jesus died for us. And here he commands us to love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So how should we love one another? Putting it in that perspective, how much should we show love for the brothers? Putting it in that perspective, should there be any thought in our mind when Jesus commands love one another as I have loved you? Should there be any thought in our mind, I will love the brothers if they? No, there should be no thought of that. There should be no thought of that. No, we're commanded to love one another, not dependent upon what the other person does. Not dependent upon that. And we see it in 1 John verse 3 or chapter 3:16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. So he laid down his life for us, and we ought to be willing, we ought to desire to lay down our lives for the brothers, for one another. We're commanded to love one another the way Christ loved us. We are to love the brothers and to love one another in this way. And then back to our text for this morning. I'm just going to read 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants. For the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. And in this demonstration of the love of Christ for us, you know, he speaks of this, of us loving one another, and then he tells the disciples, he speaks of what he is about to do for them. He speaks about it beforehand. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends, for his friends. And we see in this text some wonderful words here. You are my friends. If you do what I command. You see, Jesus displayed his love for us and that he laid down his life for us. Now he calls them friends. He calls us friends. You see, Jesus, by laying down his life for us, is Lord. He is our Lord. He is our master. We were purchased at this great cost of his life, of his death. We as believers, you know, we've been, our eyes have been opened and we've trusted in the gospel. We believe in Christ. We have his spirit in us. Yet as believers, we were purchased. We were given to him by the Father. He owns us. He is our master. We are slaves. We are his slaves. Yet, he being our Lord, he calls us friends. He calls the disciples friends. He says here, no longer do I call you servants. For the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So he is Lord. He is our master. But these are some wonderful words. He is Lord. We are slaves, yet we are also friends of Christ. You know, we are his friends. And he speaks of laying down his life for his friends. He's called us friends. He laid down his life for us. And he goes on in verse 16, you did not choose me. He goes on. So he calls the disciples friends. He calls us friends. Yet we did not choose him, but he chose us. He chose the disciples, appointed them. Let me read it. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So he goes through this whole narrative and calls them friends, but then he reminds them, but you did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. That you should go and bear fruit that should abide. That you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So he has called us to know him. He has called us. He has looked down on us and he died for us and he made us his friends. But he chose us and appointed us so that we would bear fruit. And notice also the go in there. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So there is a go in there, a go. Just keep that in mind. But this love that we speak of, that we've been speaking of, that we should love one another the way that he loved us, this love that we've been appointed to do, I think this fruit is primarily, firstly, talking of us loving one another. This love that we have for one another, this bearing this fruit of love, is something that we are to be actively going about to do. He says, go and bear fruit. I have appointed you to go and bear fruit. It's something that we actively do. The love that we're speaking of in this text, where he says, love one another, is not what we commonly think of as love in our culture. You know, love in our culture, the idea is that I have this feeling. You know, it's sort of this feeling. And so, you know, you might think in your head, well, I know I'm supposed to love them, but I just don't have that feeling. You know, I don't have that feeling of love. I'm supposed to love them, but something they do just drives me crazy. I just don't have this tingly feeling to love them. Well, that's not what this is speaking of. When we speak of love here, when we speak of love, it's an active, it's a present active verb. It's present now. Love the brethren. It's an active verb. It's something that we do. We actively love them. We're to love one another in that way, not just sit around and waiting on some feeling. But that's the way we think about it. It's an active thing. It's a regarding someone with affection. It's having loving concern towards someone. It's caring for someone else. It's caring for one another, actively. It's actively going, moving, pursuing this caring. It's not just sitting back and waiting for it to happen. When we love someone, when we put it in our head to love them, we do it. We go love them. We show love towards them. And we read there in the last part of 16, I think, as we read the, it says, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. In the context of all that we're talking about, I think that that's tied in and dependent upon our fruit, our loving one another. And the idea is that as we pray, as we're pursuing this love, as we're going and bearing this fruit of love, this fruit that would abide, there's the idea of this praying and being considerate, and it's this praying as we're loving one another, praying for one another, asking God to intervene for one another. It's like as we're loving, as we're pursuing one another in this way, that the idea is that when we pray for one another, the Father will hear. The Father will hear and He will act. He will provide for us in a way that we can love one another. Maybe it's even those that you have difficulty loving. He will give to you what you ask of Him in this manner. But all of this love is not, it's not an option for us that we love one another. We don't just come here and participate here. We don't come together and go to church and participate in church together just to participate, to check a checkbox or something like that. We don't do that. We come together for this purpose, to love one another. We come together to worship God, to demonstrate our love for Him, and then to demonstrate that we are His disciples by loving one another. And we're commanded to do it. So I got to ask, are we there yet? Are we all loving to the full extent that we should? Are we loving each other like Christ loved us? Well, I don't know that we can. Jesus was Son of God in the flesh. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. He gave His life for us. He was perfect. He perfectly loved us. We cannot perfectly love one another in the exact same way that Jesus did. But I would say that we probably, if you really think, if we would concentrate and think about this and think about how we demonstrate our love towards one another, I think we're all lacking. You know, there's places that we're lacking in it. You know, we get busy doing our thing, the routine that we do, and we just don't think about it sometimes. It's hard for us to always do it. And I think that's why Jesus has the text here for us. Jesus knew what His disciples were just about to face. He knew that He was leaving them, and He knew what they were facing. He knew of the persecution that was about to come, which we'll read about in the next section. He knew of all that. But you see Him stressing to them that they stay together, that they love one another. He knew that they needed these words. He knows that we need them now. We continually need them. So the idea is that we love one another. I think that we could see that we are in the faith that because we love the brethren. But also we should look at it as something we should be actively pursuing. We should actively be going and loving one another, actively pursuing. And it's not always easy. You know, sometimes loving one another means giving up our own desires or our own priorities. Sometimes it means giving some of ourselves, maybe some of our own possessions. Or maybe letting our feelings be put to the side so that we can love them, whatever it might be. You know, like we see in John 12:23, I see kind of a context of this. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." And you know, you think of this command that He says that you obey me, that you do my commandments, that you love one another. We see in this the idea that whoever loves his life loses it. So there's a sense in that when we love one another, there's a way that we need to kind of die to our own desires and what we want and all those things and actually be thinking of others. The idea that if you hate your life in this world, you will keep it. But if you love your life, you lose it. You know, that idea is that I think you could apply that into our loving one another. Because if we love our life and what we want and to get the things we want and to do what we want, we're not thinking too much of others. There's a sense that we die to ourselves when we reach out and purposely love one another. So I just want to encourage you, let us lose our lives to love Christ. Like he laid down his life for us, let us lose our lives to love one another. Let us set aside our lives so that we will love one another. Let us be willing to give all those things of ours up, whether it be our feelings or our own desires or the things that we want to do. Let us give those things up to love one another. Let us actively be going to one another, purposely pursuing the idea that we are to love one another. And we should be willing to die to ourselves and step out there to do it. You know, it's something we need to actively be thinking about. But remember when I talked about the fruit earlier? You know, where are we at now? Where are we at? I think we all love one another. And we're there. There's some love there for one another. But remember the fruit. There was some production. You know, that there was a vine that produced fruit. Yet Jesus talked about God pruning that vine so that it would produce more fruit. And in our text this morning, we saw that we were chosen to produce much fruit and fruit that abides. I think we can trust in knowing that as we read this text, God's pruning us. You know, he works and causes us to think and he prunes us so that we'll produce more fruit. He works through the scripture to make us think differently. In this text that we saw this morning, we saw the idea that we were chosen to produce much fruit and fruit that will abide. We can trust that as we purposely love one another, as we purposely seek to love one another, as we actively do this, that the love for one another will grow. And this fruit that we produce will be abiding fruit. It will affect lives. It will change things. And we can rest in knowing that this fruit, as we continue to produce more fruit, will abide. It will abide forever. I mean, God uses this, us loving one another, to build up the church and to glorify himself. We can rest in knowing that the love that we demonstrate towards one another is not in vain. It's not some silly thing we're doing. It's purposeful. And God is using it for his purposes and his glory. So if we're not there yet, you know, this is the first Sunday of 2018. The first Sunday of a new year. So I want to challenge us. To challenge us all, that we would approach this new year, 2018, with this fresh on our mind, that we would start looking for ways that we would actively demonstrate and show our love to one another, that we would approach this new year in a different way. Let us just from now on really think and consider these things, and let us reach out to one another to love one another. And it's going to mean setting aside some of our quirks or ignoring some of the others' quirks and all of those things. But let us be actively pursuing the opportunity to show love for one another. And also, I think we should be individually open to letting others love us, letting others demonstrate their love for us. You know, the idea is that there's the idea that we should be supporting one another financially. We should be sharing with one another when we're in need, when others are in need. Well, to do that, we need to be willing to, when we have those needs, to share it with one another so that you're giving people opportunity to demonstrate that love that they have for you in providing for physical needs or financial needs or whatever that might be. So we ought to approach the year thinking of purposely loving one another and also remembering and thinking of giving each other the opportunity to act by letting each other know what's going on in our lives. So I just want to leave you with that charge, and then we'll read a couple of slides of scriptures just to leave you with to think about. Remember the verse we read this morning, John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then the last part of that section, the last verse, these things I've commanded you so that you will love one another. And then from 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. So let us approach this coming year with the idea that we are going to actively love one another. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful for the way that you use your word to, Lord, just to change us, to cause us to think differently. Father, we are so thankful for the love that was demonstrated towards us by Christ when he willingly laid his life down. He willingly laid his life down for his friends. Father, we are thankful that you call us friends. Father, that you have called us, that you have chosen us to, Lord, just to know you, and that you've also called us out that we might produce much fruit, that we might produce an abiding fruit as we love one another. And Father, we just pray that you would open our eyes and help us to see ways that we are not demonstrating love towards one another, or just ways that we can love one another by serving one another. Father, we just pray that, just ask that you would help us just all to be mindful of this going into this coming year, that people would know that we are your disciples by the love that we show towards one another. Father, we just thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.